Wow. Did you write that song? Yeah, you're on.
Am I on?
Yeah.
I co-wrote that with...
And you're not on now. Let me get the other one up as well. Go on.
Am I on?
Well, actually, it's all started to be a bit... Things have gone a little bit funny in this studio since you've arrived. I wonder what that's all about. So let me see. How about that?
It's my vibe.
Oh, God.
Have you got me now?
Big boomy voice. Morning to my guest in the studio, Gemma Dorset.
This wallflower. Good morning.
Is that your nickname, wallflower?
No, it certainly isn't, no.
No,
I've got a few, but it's not that.
No, you could never be described as a wallflower. Right, so tell me then, good morning to you. That was your own composition, wasn't it?
It was a collaboration with two amazing musicians, Nikki Lamborn and Catherine Feeney of Never the Bride.
Right,
and you
we
may
know them. Know
you're
them.
Familiar with their work, yeah.
Yep, definitely.
So I met them about 4 years ago, and I think one of the first things I said to Nikki was, because she said, you know, why are you here? And I said, well, I've lost my mojo, and she said, okay, well, what can we do about that? And it was amazing for me because I knew about Nikki's reputation, and you know, as an amazing vocal coach and singer. I'd been to see her, or see the band rather, and I think on my second lesson she said, you know, come and sing with us at the Green Note in Camden, and it just floored me. And you know, and off the back of that, they said, you know, let's start writing some songs, you know, together. And I, you know, they could see and they knew that I wanted to, you know, do something with my voice. I'd let it, you know, I'd been doing the pub gigs for such a long time, 20 years really, and we'd done functions, my dad and I and a band. And so this thing just snowballed, and before we knew it, we'd, you know, written Streetcar. And actually how it happened was we were just sat in the living room, and Nikki was just having a general conversation with me about, you know, getting to know me and, you know, what I'm about really. And I was just having a general conversation, you know, I thought she was interested in talking to me. And I think subconsciously she was getting ideas of how to start this songwriting process, which was very clever. And before
we knew it, just double back a bit.
Sorry.
With Never the Bride, mm-hmm. they are very generous with the stage.
Oh, incredibly
they?
So.
Over the years, they've given the stage over to many, many other musicians and singers, funny enough.
Yeah.
Is that a normal thing?
No, certainly not in my experience. I've never known anything like it, which is what makes them stand out. I mean, they stand out, I think, in so many different ways anyway, and that's part of the package, you know, their generosity. And what it all boils down to is their pure love of music and creating.
Yeah.
And, you know, they need to be heard, you know. They need to be experienced, I think, actually is a better way of putting it. But so I've been exceptionally fortunate to be a part of that. And I mean, I did actually do some a tiny bit of songwriting and some recording in Nashville back in 2003, which was an incredible experience. But I was very much left to my own devices. And when I came back from Nashville with this great 12-track, as you can imagine, country-esque album, the guy who'd taken me out there in the first place, who'd sort of set me on this path, really left me to it. And I, you know, I was 23 and I was clueless. I had no idea what to do. And I was trying to put this band together and, you know, and then it just never went anywhere. So I really, really appreciate having people who are holding me or have, you know, have really lifted me up. I mean, it's more like a throw at me. you know, so to have that comparison is really special. And I don't think... Perhaps I wouldn't have appreciated it so much if I hadn't have had that initial experience.
Absolutely. Now, I thought you came out of nowhere, but you're now saying that sort of like you've been doing it for quite some time.
Yeah.
Is that where you started off doing singing with your dad in pub gigs and things?
Well, no, I mean, it's the classic tale, starting in a church choir. And I'd been to Sunday school when I was quite little. And then the opportunity to join junior choir at St. Peter's in Staines. And I just loved it. It made me so happy. And I really enjoyed choral music, actually. I didn't read music particularly, but I knew when to go up, down and flat. So that was enough to sort of get me by. And having alto voice at the age of 9, 10 or whatever. I never got the solos. I was always bummed that I never got the solos. You know? And then as time went on, then my dad and I would play in the church. He would play guitar and I would do some songs in the sort of during communion. That was really nice. I didn't appreciate the audience I had then. I should have been doing mailing lists then.
Well, you were quite a popular one, were you, at the
Well, they
the
kept
choir.
Inviting us back, so I guess so, yeah. But no, that was a really great experience. And then, yeah, from then, Dad and I started playing more functions. And we used to do gigs over at Sandhurst Academy for the soldiers. That was interesting. And yeah, just went from there. And then it ended up, yeah, just doing the pub circuit for only locally.
So he must be intensely proud now to see where you are from there to here now.
And my mum also was very much a part of that. I mean, she was the one, she was, you know, sort of a executive manager, I guess. You know, she was out getting the gigs and, you know, doing the hustle, you know, getting all the money for everyone and stuff. So it was a real, you know, it was a real nice family team effort, really.
So what's really interesting is it's a really organic process by the sounds of it, because I mean today we're so bombarded with these like X Factor type programs on television that it's nice to hear someone that comes up from the organic way, you know, doing pub gigs and stuff like that, and then obviously getting bigger gigs in London, like you know, so the various places you've been in London recently. You are a local girl, aren't you?
Yes.
And in actual fact, did I read that you actually went to William Perkins School, which is just down the road from here? Did they encourage singing and stuff in that school? Or
No. It was there were people. Well, this was my experience, and I don't know whether it's because I didn't really know. It was very, very academic based. The performance side, it wasn't really geared towards singing as such. They would put on pantomimes and, you know, plays and things like that. But I wasn't really interested. I certainly didn't have the confidence to then start do drama and that sort of thing. I wish I could go back and do it now, but whatever. And I finally plucked up the courage once I got to sixth form to do... So I got cast in two plays at school, two musicals, both times as the male.
That's odd.
I can't believe why. I say I must have had the deepest voice in the whole of this, you know, the school. But that was a really great experience, and it did, you know, again that showed me another side of things. And then I was in a close part harmony choir at school, and we, you know, I think we came out with everybody every time we say goodbye. And after that, I had all these teachers suddenly coming up to me and going, wow, I had no idea you could sing like that. And I'm like, great, well, I'm leaving now, bye. So, I probably left it a little bit too late to shine at school. But as I said, it wasn't really encouraged. And it's a shame, really, because I think had I been in that...
Yeah. Earlier. Yeah.
But everything happens for a reason. You know, you've got to trust the process and the timing. And
absolutely.
I'm certainly more comfortable in my own skin now than I've ever been. So that plays a massive part.
It comes with being 26 and older, you know.
26 plus, exactly.
Okay, well, now tell me, little in-joke there, I think the first gig that I went to of yours, you told everyone, it was on your birthday, wasn't it?
It wasn't, yes.
You told a little white lie that it was 26.
I may have done it with a wink.
Oh, I didn't see that wink.
Yeah, it was dark.
So tell me, what's been your most memorable gig so far out of all the ones you've been doing recently?
Oh, goodness me. I've loved every single one I've done with Never the Bride, or I've been invited to as a guest. I mean, they've managed to, the Green Note, for example, that's a great venue, and the Pheasantry, Pizza Express. I mean, the first time I did that was just, I think that probably is the greatest.
That's a Chelsea.
Yeah,
that's
that was just, you must come, you know, to the next one, because it's a great venue, it's a great vibe in there, and it's just, and it was with. They had a guy called Simon Bates, a saxophonist, who used to play for Bette Midler, which was just, she's my idol.
Yeah.
And, so it was just the most exciting thing to be performing. And again, we, you know, doing duets with Nikki, and it was just a really, really fantastic gig. And so I think that definitely comes as my number one gig. But the last couple we've done with my own band, at the Ram Jam in Kingston and the Bull's Head in Barnes. I was exceptionally nervous because they were my first ticketed gigs, and Ram Jam was sold out. The Bull's Head was, you know, sold out, and it's just, you know, you can't ask for more than that.
Absolutely, not at all. How difficult is it to take that next step from gigging to actually getting to the point where you're actually, you've got an EP or an album and you are sending it out there?
Well, I have to say, if I was doing this on my own, it's a difficult question to answer because, again, I've had this incredible support. I mean, they are my mentors. I will mention their names probably 3,000 or 4,000 more times during this chat. But one of the best decisions I ever made was deciding that I was worth going to sing lessons with somebody of Nikki's caliber.
Yeah.
And off the back of that, it's led to this guided track of events which have led to this. So, you know, getting up on stage in front of a whole new crowd, appreciative crowd, and them loving it at these great venues with a fantastic band like Never the Bride. And then that's led then onto the confidence in saying, I can do this with my own band. They even came to jams with me to help me choose the musicians.
Wow.
I mean, that's going above and beyond.
That is really good, yeah.
You know, so that was just massive. I don't know if... Yeah, it's kind of a misnomer, right? That's what happened, and I was very lucky to have that. They've been giving me guidance on what gigs to take, what gigs not to take. I had one recently, actually, and I was kind of like, yeah, but, you know, here's my thoughts on it. And they're like, no, you're worth more.
Yeah.
So that's massive. You know, all these little things where they're guiding me. You know, so really they are my mentors, and I trust them implicitly on that.
Now, I've heard you mention rock, and some people have mentioned blues, and your gigs include both. But for me, for my ears, there's a bit of gospel coming in there as well. And I don't want to pigeonhole you, but how would you describe the sound of your voice?
I think that's still a work in progress, and I need to really sort that out very quickly because these kind of questions are going to be coming thick and fast. In fact, they already are, and everyone likes to be... You know what you're saying about pigeonholed, actually, that's what people want. Not necessarily as an artist, but certainly as an audience, they want to know what they're dealing with. For example, if I said, you know, it's blues music, there is a blues audience. You might have that small wave of people who are interested in just trying different things, or they've got a bit of an interest in blues, but you've got your hardcore blues people, you've got your hardcore rock people. Some of my stuff's actually a bit Nashville, almost Americana, and yeah, you've got that gospel. So you know, is it indie?
Yeah.
For today's standards, possibly, yes. In my head, indie is, you know, the Gallaghers.
Yeah.
So I don't like that too much. Yeah, for now, it's...
It's a bit of everything, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's a bit of everything. And I think that kind of is me.
Yeah.
I think I am a bit of everything, which, so if you come up with a word to describe that...
Yeah.
I'll buy you a bottle of something very expensive.
Oh, very nice. I'll get to it later on. Thank you very much. I sounded like Elvis then, didn't I? Thank you very much. you do it better than me, obviously.
I practice it at home a lot.
Do you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Just in case someone says Elvis is in the building.
Yeah, well, you need another arm, I think, to your you know, income stream. So if you know Elvis impersonation is the thing, then that's fine.
Absolutely. Okay, well, I'm going to play something else of yours. And this, you do you want to tell us about it? Because I've heard you play this at gigs and I absolutely love it. So tell us a bit about it.
Yeah, so this one, so just going back to our earlier point about the songwriting process. So, you know, often I'll go in to see Nikki and Bean will be there at the piano and, you know, Nikki's there with her writing pad and whatnot. And it's basically they're like, okay, well, what's your idea? What do you want to write about today? And so the first time with Streetcar, it was about my traveling experience, and it really developed as an idea, and then we went on to do this one, and I thought, I don't know what I had it in my head about this idea about friends, or a couple of people who had been friends forever, and they've been on this sort of journey independently of trying to find their own meaning in their own lives, you know, looking for love and looking for success and looking for whatever. And actually they come together later on in life and realise that the other, that friendship was it. So right. That's the point of the song. So it's quite a
how lovely is that?
It's quite a deep song. But I just I get, you know, you have a lot of people in your mind when you think about these things, and it's you pull it from different stories and different people that you know, experiences and whatnot. So this is a culmination of that basically.
And so basically, you've written the words to this.
Well, it's a collaboration. I mean, Nikki and Bean are just incredible when it comes to coming up with. Nikki says that I'm very articulate. She says that I'm very good at saying, but when it comes to songwriting, there's so much going on in my head. I almost don't know how to get it out. And they have this incredible way of helping do that.
Yeah.
Sometimes they come out with things, and I'm like, wow, this is, you know, this is gold. So.
So you've got you're hoping to release this EP
in the new
gonna
year.
Be your, in the new year. It's going to have four songs on it.
Yes.
Four songs on it, mm-hmm. And that'll be your first major.
Yeah,
thing that comes out, yes. First major.
It's very exciting, bit scary.
It's a long process, I hear.
But it's so important to get it right, you know. And I'm not the most patient. I am in one sense, but I think when it comes to me and my own success, if you like, I'm not particularly patient. I've realised that. So I think, you know, I think sometimes they like trying to pull the reins on me a little bit, but it's needed.
Yeah.
You know, and it's better to get it perfect.
Definitely. So to finish our little interview today, yes. I'm going to play this song by you. I'm looking forward to us all hearing this song because it is absolutely marvellous when I can get it on the track here. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you for having
me. If people want to actually know a little bit more about you, how would they contact you?
I do have a website. It's sounds very egotistical when I say it, like www.gemmadorsett.com, two T's, Dorset like the county with two T's. Yeah. Or you can find me on Facebook, Gemma Dorsett Music.
And people can see you around the place singing.
Yes,
when's your next gig?
The next gig is at the Ram Jam on the 10th of February, where we'll be showcasing these songs.
Okay.
So it's exceptionally exciting.
Okay. So, perfect. Yeah. Well,
And can I just do one more little plug?
Yes.
Never the Bride are playing the Ram Jam, 29th of December. If you haven't got a ticket yet, you must. They're amazing.
Will you be there?
I will be there.
Yeah.
I will be there. Good. Whooping and hollering.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for coming in. We're going to end with this one by you.
Thank you.
Which is called Don't Get Much Better.
Yeah.
Lovely.